Breathing out deeply once or twice if you wish to begin the meditation. Feeling this natural way that the body weaves itself together with the air. Letting go with the out-breath. Letting in with the in-breath. Letting the quietness of our day here kind of hold you like in a palm of a hand. And just for fun, once or twice if you wish, playfully just being with a full round of exhale, inhale, 10 times. So counting 10 breaths as you let your system alarm go off. Letting go of some of what's not needed with each out-breath, just naturally, not having to add anything to it. Receiving into your lungs and your cells what is needed. Just so naturally enjoying that process. And it's a game, and like any game, maybe you got lost around 3 or 4 or 6 breaths. You can start back at the beginning or pick up where you left off. There's no prize. There's no prize for reaching 10. It's just a game. The purpose of the game is not to reach 10, but to have fun, to experiment, to find out, to discover, to arrive with each breath. Feeling for that kind of the edge of the tide or the surf of the breath, and just riding that surf. Let's have a couple more breaths. So it's not that we want to relate to the idea of the breath, but ride that surf of the experience as it unfolds. letting the out-breath, as it does naturally, relax the body and empty the mind. Letting the in-breath, as it does naturally, rise up through the body with joy and energy, not just the molecules of oxygen. And now just pausing lightly, not pausing the breath, of course, but just pausing our attention to the breath. Letting that wild surf, that gentle surf, continue. Feeling for the quality of the mind. How is it? Is it sharp? Does it feel broken or whole? Submerged, bright, light, heavy. Going out in all directions, quiet, sweet, sour, salty. So just noticing we have the ability to feel what's happening in the mind, the quality of it, the content of it. And just to give room to the wide variety of things that we could call thought. And the possibility of feeling a thought. I don't mean the emotional tone, but just feeling the quality of a thought. We could think about the same thing in many different ways. If you're like me, on my first retreat, I don't know how many times I counted how many days are left, how many meditations are left. That could be done with boredom, with panic, with a hurry, dreamily, etc. It's common to think, I'm about to have a great experience. Sometimes that can come to mind. Subtly or in a hidden way, or in full color widescreen TV. Just being open to the fact that there are thoughts. I'm the best, I'm the worst, I'm better, I'm worse. He, she, or they are better or worse. In some way, just being open to the fact of those thoughts and feeling the quality. And just leaving some room for what thoughts leave out when we're focused into thinking. What are we leaving out? So, for example, if I'm trapped in thinking, you're better than I am in some way, which of course you are. But I'm trapped into that feeling squished or small or aggressive, competitive, whatever. One big thing I'm leaving out is the way that we are here in the room resonating in harmony in the background, where that thought is irrelevant, where that feeling of separation, competition, or better or worse than has no meaning or importance. It's a joke. So leaving the world of thought free to be itself as not my problem, not my creation. Not my reality. And leaving room to feel the quality of mind that happens with the thoughts. And leaving room for what we leave out when we're into thinking, when we fully believe the thinking. That it has importance. We could play a game today that the only way thought has importance for us, for our purposes today, the only way thought has importance is in how much of your energy is it using up? How much of your attention is entrapped in it? Without realizing, by habit. And can we tune into the feeling of relief when we just back off, let the thought continue, but also feel I have a spine, I'm in contact with the ground, and there's an out-breath. Ah. When the thinking is very strong, it can be fun to play the game of 10 breaths. Riding the surf of this actual out-breath as it enacts itself upon our body. This actual in-breath as it rises. Just noticing what else brings about a sense of humor about thinking, about what we think about, and how many times it gets thought. And then tuning in briefly to the emotional heart, the emotional life. And first, just at the doorway of the emotions, do you have the sense that there is an emotion happening, or a mood, or a state of mind? Or do you have the sense that there is not that? So for some people, it would be overwhelmingly obvious, a first wave of a strong emotion. For other people, it would seem to be that there is no emotion or mood. In either case, just leaving room to discover the state of mind, the mood, the emotion. Usually, if there's a strong emotion, then there's something else waiting to be discovered behind that. And usually, if there's a sense that there isn't emotion, there's something that we could call emotional that would like to be discovered, uncovered, released. This is not to say that we are getting to know ourselves better through feeling our emotions. What we're getting to know better is human being. It's not about you. It's about human living. But it can help just to ask yourself openly, kindly, quietly, persistently for a while, how are you? And to hear the foreground and the background that comes in response. If and when there comes a day or a time where there is strong emotion and you feel stable and kindly enough to feel it just simply as a human state of being, a human frequency, however vivid and intense, not the first time it's ever been felt, not the only one feeling it right now. However hot the anger, however heavy the loneliness, guilt, sadness, or shame. However dark and hard to turn towards the violence or self-hatred or fear. Simple human state, not alone with it. Where do you, though, personally feel it in your body? Is there a color? Is there a shape? Is there a temperature? Just as simply received. With curiosity, with curious kind of fingers in your mind. As if it's a kind of wonderful, strange piece of music that you suddenly came across, or something washed up on the shore of the sea that you realize you don't know what it is or where it came from. Or whom it belongs to, but it does have a shape and it feels maybe hot or cold. Small, big, bumpy, just a whisper or a shout. So first with curiosity, exploring it a little bit for a few moments. And then letting it rest as if you would set it to float in a sea of gentleness, kindness. Buoyancy. So you don't need to bear it as a burden, let it rest. As a human experience in a sea of okayness, softness. Whatever it is. And then we can also check and find that when our attention goes into the emotional, what do we leave out? So commonly we leave out that there is also a deep okayness, sometimes accessible through the lower belly or the back of the body or the out-breath or the soles of the feet. Belly, back, feet. out-breath. That however intense, however difficult, however vivid, however exciting, maybe there is also this underlying deep lake of okayness anyway. So today you have the chance to gauge your own practice, what's necessary, helpful, what's possible. 10 breaths at a time, surfing, just openness and the sweetness of that, letting the sweetness spread through the body, or just sounds. And the quick, precise, alive responsiveness, receptivity in a human being that already heard the sound before we could name it. Or kind of systematically leaving room for thought. Briefly feeling the quality of the thinking, then briefly feeling how are you emotionally, what is the state of mind or mood, or moods, states of mind. And the fun of just leaving room for it all, that none of it is your problem, even though some of it does hurt. And slipping down the back of your body, maybe into the belly, to rest in a lake of okay. Anyway, of okayness. Of peace. And we can, of course, combine feeling the out-breath or the whole of the breath with resting down towards the lower belly, being open to discover okayness anyway. The joy and relief of noticing that thinking has taken over again and letting go, leaving room for what we usually leave out. So just the body, sounds, breath, okayness, aliveness, the beauty of life. As it is. Are there any questions or anything to say? So enjoy the walking time. Of course, you can feel free to be in the hall anytime, day or night. So if you want to just stay in the hall in the morning, that's fine. I think it might be too cold to do interviews on the outside porch, so we're going to change right now how it's going to be. The interviews will be in the lounge room, and if you're waiting for an interview, you can just wait by the notice board outside the lounge room, okay? Which is different from what it says on the board. If you want to do walking and it is raining every 5 minutes, there are the extra umbrellas just this side as you come out of the kitchen area. You might have seen it or not, but as you come out on your right, there's a bucket of big umbrellas. So if you want to go walking, feel free. I'll just try again. Is there any question or anything to share? Yeah.
Do you have any suggestions? Because it's a silent retreat.
Yes.
I don't normally spend my day not talking.
Yeah.
Are there any suggestions to cope with that chatter?
Yeah.
That's just dying to get out?
Yeah. The main thing would be your willingness to feel where that comes from, like where it gets so much energy that it's dying to come out. So that's partly habit. But just feeling maybe in your body if there's a place even that you could feel like where it almost jumps from. Or if there's any way that you can experientially feel, not trying to figure it out mentally, but where that energy to speak and get it out, to express, comes from. It could be worth taking some time, letting it maybe happen organically when there's a half an hour or so of just reflecting also when you can express whenever you want what happens, what do you get, and what do you lose. So that maybe is worth saying here at this point, so thank you for reminding me. Maybe two things about silence. It happens, being in silence, especially when it's gray weather, that we can start to feel we have something to rebel against. It is easy to project onto the situation that everyone is so serious and it's so heavy and depressing, and because of our associations maybe with gray weather, etc. And to just realize that this is a projection, that we don't know what each person's experience is, but I have the inside loop, and I can tell you that there is also joy happening in some people. There's everything. So not to start to think that to fit in, I've got to be all somber and serious. or I'm not allowed to be joyful or whatever. And it then maybe sometimes there's a rebellion against that and like further energy that wants to express. So usually when there's wanting to express other than just pure habit, there's some sense of wanting to be met, which can be wanting confirmation or recognition, knowing that I exist, kind of. And of course, there's also that's our usual way of getting friendliness and happiness, kind of. So if we can trust that possibly, and it does seem to happen every time, that in silence, there's also another way of getting in touch with the connectedness, the friendliness. And I've been kind of pointing that out a few times, but I'll give a metaphor from the trees. So I read yesterday from the poem about the man in Siberia and Wendell Berry in Kentucky, and how there was the way that Wendell felt he could kind of let his hum at his home resonate with the hum of that guy over in Siberia in the woods, and that there was no need for a sense of separation. And now it has become more common knowledge that in some forests, I don't know if it's in every single forest, but in some forests at least, there's the fungal network connecting one tree's roots to the next tree's roots to the next tree's roots, and it's a fungal mat that spreads underground connecting all the trees. So that one thing that we human beings have found out about that is that if one or a few trees on one side of the forest starts to be attacked by a pest, then that message is spread to the other trees, and the other trees develop more of what is resistant to that pest. So that's the metaphor. It's something that happens in nature, and it's something that I feel is very similar in human beings, that it's as if underground we're holding hands. So instead of holding hands through words and getting the sense of company and warmth and friendliness and enjoyment and connection, and checking for where there's that sense of emptiness needing confirmation, and going for that, which will never be fulfilled, because we're being moved by the fear, we'll stay in the fear. But there's also, from a place of a wholeness and an overflowing heart, reaching to connect. But if we can let that, rather than reach out, if we can let that like sink in, so if there's joy, letting it sink into the bones, sink into the blood, sink into the skin, sink down into the roots, and find each other there in the silence. So usually, by the end of the retreat, people realize how well we seem to feel each other and know each other much more than we would if we'd been talking and saying, how are you and what do you do and where are you from? And so it's hard to get that without the experience. So you're still getting into your first silent retreat. So I'm just telling you so that it's worth the experiment. Staying in the silence and kind of letting that energy, rather than go out, letting it come in, sink down. And you don't have to do anything with it. It just so happens by being together. It's wonderful. And not giving too much energy to the comparing mind, and not giving too much energy to our protective defenses, which is what creates the enmity. And just being yourself, being free to be yourself here in silence. So there's free to be yourself in another mode, allows us to be in touch with life and with each other in ways, plural, that we haven't been aware of before ever in our lives. And there's really a sense of knowing each other better than if we would have been talking. So it's just an encouragement. I know it's like going on a fast. Like, it would be like saying, let's go on a retreat and not eat for 4 days. Let's go on a retreat and not talk for 4 days. It's hard. But it's better than a fast, what we have to discover. And very simple. So what actually helps to get through, I didn't ask it that. When you feel that impulse, so 10 breaths, for example, or come and talk to me, Anton or Mitra, and just say, yeah. Da-da-da-da-da. Thanks, bye. Feeling your feet, feeling the breath, any direct sense experience. So something starts to be overwhelming, some impulse of any kind, or some emotion, some thinking pattern, whatever, some self-hatred, etc. And then there's green. And then the habit takes over again the next second, and there's green again. Ding, ding. But breaking the momentum of the habit, even if it seems to be a hopeless cause, it has a lot of power to break the momentum of the habit. It's not that we have to have as many moments in another opposite mode to get the habit to wear down. By breaking the habit, there's more power in that moment of breaking the momentum, even though at the time it doesn't seem like it. So not giving up hope. It's, again, it's really like green self-hatred, green self-hatred, green. Okay, out breath. And you can still hear it, but it's still, there is an actual out breath happening, or now it's an in breath. There's actually feet on the ground or butt on the ground, etc. So it's just breaking through the habit energy, the momentum, almost to say, almost do anything else. And it's so worthwhile, even if it doesn't seem to be today, or in that half hour where it got intense or whatever. So anything direct. And then there's one more tool that I haven't mentioned really so far on the retreat. So coming to any kind of direct sense experience to help weave through and get across that current of the habit energy. Or another one is to start to be open to feel what is your deepest wish in your life, for your life. And maybe there's a word or an image or a sentence that goes with that to help you connect to that. As simple as possible and as deep as possible. So if I start to feel, oh, what I wish for is that state of mind. Why do I want that state of mind? What is that? But it could just be, may there be peace. Or just the word peace. Or love or whatever. Whatever it really is for you, not someone else's words. Not what you're supposed to think. So that's another thing or place to connect to that also has power and is really worthwhile, really, really worthwhile spending time. You could spend the whole day. May there be peace, may there be peace. While you're walking, while you're lying down, while you're eating, etc. Okay, then there's another one comes. Meanwhile, there's a longer term kind of project, we can say. So direct sense experience, deep wish. We can come back to those anytime. They're always there. Meanwhile, also starting to be open to what could be like washed ashore from our experience on retreat while resting, especially on a deep rest retreat. Some things will come, get washed into memory in that dreamlike state where you don't know if you're sleeping or awake. Things will come to mind that it could be a memory, it could just be an image. It's often a memory, often from childhood. And it starts to help us get to know each one of us individually, what needs to be done, what is our path. Like, so if it's one person, I remember one time remembered his grandfather standing behind him and putting hands on his shoulders, the grandfather's hands on the grandson's shoulders. And the grandson just felt a sense of blessing. So this was a memory that we could say was interfering with his mindfulness of his breath. But no, it wasn't. It was a kind of something getting washed above the horizon of the mind, getting washed ashore that was coming conscious, that sense of blessing was an important quality that was ready to come more into his life. And so he could start by tuning to that memory to remember that state and let it kind of into the bloodstream more often. So that kind of indication of what your path is comes in a way that's so familiar to you in your own inner language that it's easy to disregard, and it has an innocence about it. It's not a heavy, serious thing from a big adult book, from a 1,000-year-old spiritual text, although in some way it would correspond to that. But it's fresh, and it's for you. It's really easy to disregard it. Oh, I'll do that after the retreat. That's too embarrassing. That's too silly, etc. So just when you notice that gesture of, oh, well, later, postponing or disregarding, thinking that you're better than that or whatever, then like pull it back and, okay, what is this? And when you feel, that's what I really love, that's your, so then you know that's your practice. That's what needs practice, wants more room in your life, and would be so beneficial, kind of explosively. Okay, thank you.